Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Easter. In Japanese, we say Ista omedeto. Ista omedeto Ista. Okay. So, Tyrone, if you could turn my mic down just a little bit. I like my voice, but not that much. It's okay. So, go ahead, turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. It's there in your bulletin, also up on the screen. But it's good to have it in your own Bible. While you're turning there, I want to welcome our first-time visitors. Welcome to Hiroshima, from California to New Zealand, Australia. Philippines. Yeah, so God bless you. Good day to come to church. Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday. So I hope you had some curry before you came, and I hope there's some more left over for me. All right, we're going to John chapter 20. We'll start from verse 11. This is John's account of the resurrection, just a portion. Please join me from verse 24. I will read up to verse 23, and you'll join me at verse 24. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Please read together. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is the very words of God. Amen? So on your way coming in, you might have seen a little plate with some eggs on there. That's just a leftover for what we give to everybody in the Japanese service. So hopefully we can give some to everyone here. For Easter, you can get an egg. Yay. Recently I saw the movie The Man of Steel. Are you familiar with this movie? The remake of the Superman movie? The best part for me was the part where he was in the kind of Arctic and there was the ice, glacier. And he found the spaceship he came in, and he found, not the spaceship he came in, he found a spaceship. And in it was his Superman suit, you know? And he found the message from his dad, and his dad told him, you know, "You're Superman, go." And so he puts the suit on, and then there's the moment where it's all night and it's all dark, and then all of a sudden, you see there's a rock in the ice, and the ice goes, and there's like a big hole in the ice, and there's light coming from the inside, and it's this big glorious light shining from outside, and then you see just a silhouette of a man with a cape. Dun, 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 dun. The cape is blowing like this, you know, and it's like, ah. And I said, "That's Jesus." Easter in the Man of Steel. You know. So that's Easter. It's the resurrection of Jesus coming out of the cave in power, in glory, in might, in victory over death. 3 days before, he was crucified on a cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He laid in linen, wrapped, and then 3 days later, oh yeah, it's on from then. That's the Easter event. What did you get for Easter? That's the title of the message. What did you get for Easter? Before the service, I was going across the street to the house, the church's house, SmileCon, and to go and pray. I saw two kids from our congregation, and they were just hanging out, you know, trying to get run over by cars. And I asked them, "Hey guys, how you doing?" And they're like, "Hey Pastor Chris, did the Easter Bunny come to your house?" And I said, "What?" They said, "Did the Easter Bunny come to your house?" And I said, "Oh really, the Easter Bunny come to my house?" "No, he did not come to my house. Did he come to yours?" And they said, "Yeah, we got presents." I said, "Oh, what did you get for Easter from the Easter Bunny?" And they said, "Well, you know, we got some toys, and in fact, we brought them here," and they showed me their gifts from the Easter Bunny. I said, "Wow, that is cool. I need to start doing that at my house. Maybe the gifts from the Easter Bunny." Because, as you know, we have Christmas. Christmas is the big holiday for not just Christians, but for everyone. That's the holiday where we give presents to each other because of Jesus' birth. But Easter is the day where Jesus gives presents to us for our new birth. Amen? So I want to ask you, what did you get for Easter? Because you see, Easter is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what he does is he says, I got stuff for you. I've got so much to give to you. I mentioned Superman. The movie, you know, Hollywood, it's all special effects, it's all CGI, it's all about big and bold and bah, because they want to show you something to impress you. But Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, it's not there to impress us, because God doesn't care about trying to impress us. God has nothing to prove to us. And so the resurrection is not something to say, "Oh," And God is saying, look what I can do. But if it's not about that, then we have to ask the question, well, then what is Easter about? What is so important about Easter? What is it about Easter that makes my life different? How do I leave church today different? How does my life change? It's all the same question. As a pastor, one of the pastors here, I meet many people, and there's so many problems and so many concerns, family concerns, money concerns, job problems, so many troubles that people come to us for prayer, for counseling, for advice. And if there is one thing, one theme that kind of connects all of the problems and all of the troubles and difficulties that we hear, if they're all different, but if there's one thing that connects all of them, there is a thirst for resurrection. There's a hunger for newness. There's a hunger for change. You know, it looks like this. This is what they say. Say, Pastor Chris, if only I could go back 10 years ago. If only I could just not had said what I had said. If only I had done it differently. You know, just if only it was 10 years ago me. If it was only my situation from 10 years ago, of my hair from 10 years ago, my everything from 10 years ago. And the theme under all of these problems is resurrection. And so Jesus comes to us and he says, my friend, it's not that I resurrected. It wasn't I was resurrected. Jesus comes to us and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he will die, he will yet live. What he's saying is, because I am the resurrection, I can do it. What you're hungering for, that change, that newness, that resurrection, it's in me. And I can give that to you. And so Jesus comes to us on Resurrection Day, and he has his arms full. He's got his arms full. He's got a bag full of things. And there are these gifts that he wants to give us on Easter. It's better than Santa Claus, better than the Easter Bunny. It's Jesus. And he's going to give us these gifts. What did you get for Easter? I just want to lay out some things that we see here in our text. There's two major things. One big thing, and then there's a whole list of others. And I want to just lay them out for you. And there's two things, these two categories of gifts that are, I think, everyone wants in their life. And Jesus says, I'm so happy to give it to you. I'm so happy to bring it for you. So let me get into it. The first one, that the first gift that Jesus gives to us in Easter is faith. F-A-I-T-H. Okay. F-I, I don't know why. Okay. Shinko, right? Faith. So, if you notice, he goes to Mary, and he's giving her faith. He goes to his disciples, and he gives them faith. He says, well, how many times does he say, receive? And he says, peace be with you. I'm going to give you something. And he's giving Thomas, he's giving him faith. And you say, well, yeah, that's nice, Chris. It's good to have faith. But you see, Chris, I don't have enough faith. I'm impure, I'm guilty, I'm kind of a mess, I don't do enough, I don't believe enough, I don't have enough faith. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. You don't need the faith to get to me. I'm giving you the faith to get to me. Because faith is a gift of God. What does Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 say?
the gift of God, faith. Faith is a gift that no man should boast. I can't remember the words. So let's look at Mary just for a second. Just consider, the first thing we see is Mary. And Mary, what is she doing? She's crying. Woe is me. Where is Jesus? And she thinks everything is, I'm here to take care of the body. It's gone. What do I do? Woe is me. And even Jesus is asking her, why are you crying? And somebody took the body. I don't know where it is. Do you know where the body is? And she's lost it. Mary has lost. That is absolutely absurd. Because if you know about Mary, she's been walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus every day. She has seen Jesus doing miracle after miracle after miracle. She has seen Jesus feed people, heal people, give to people new life, new sight. She has seen people raised from the dead by Jesus. She saw that. Not only that, she heard Jesus talking. Jesus himself said it so many times. I'm going to be killed. And then 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. He said it over and over and over. Everybody, even Jesus' enemies knew what he had been saying. You kill me, that's no problem. I'm going to raise from the dead. She had heard that over and over and over. So she goes to the tomb. The tomb is empty. And she's flipping out because she thinks so he's gone. Now, you need to consider this. They saw the miracles. They heard Jesus talking about his resurrection all the time. The resurrection happens. She doesn't have enough faith to believe it. That's Mary. That's the disciples. How about you and me? If Mary can't have enough faith, there's no way we can have enough faith. That's why faith is a gift. Can you see what Romans 3 is saying? There is no one righteous, not even one. No one seeks after God. Therefore, faith has to be given to us by God. I get it, Chris. Yes, yes, yes. But Chris, you don't know how I've been. You don't know my past. You don't know where I come from. Chris, I'm as black as the night is dark. I am dirty. I am ragged. I am ugly. I need to clean my life up. And then I could go to Jesus. I need to turn things around. And then I can have faith. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. It's a gift. The gospel that changes, you know what I prayed today? I pray, Lord, I pray that you change millions of people's lives today. Just like you've been doing every year for the past 2,000 years. Just changing life after life. Because Jesus gave his life for yours. And in exchange, he takes your death. And after giving you his life, you have the power, the peace, the intimacy, the purpose of God, and it changes your life. That's the gospel. Let me put it one other way for you. The gospel is this. God loves you not because of your past. God loves you because of Jesus' past. God loves you not because of your record, but God accepts you because of Christ's record. That's the cross. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And faith in that comes from Jesus Christ. There's power. You see, all of us, we all have graves in our lives. We all come to open tombs. There's crazy things going on all around us. And some of us are flipping out, like Mary. And God says, look, I'm here to give you faith. So how is it that you receive the faith from God? Let me give you three things. Three ways you could receive faith from God. The first thing is this. Go to Jesus. I know it's pretty obvious, but it's there. You go to him. And you say, look, here's what you say. You don't know what to say? Let me tell you what to say. Okay? You say, look, Jesus, I can't save myself. I'm a pretty messed up person as it is. Even my faith can't save me. I don't even have enough faith for that, Jesus. I need you. I need your healing. I need your forgiveness. I need you. And you know what happens? Jesus says, yeah, that's enough for you to be saved. That's the faith. Is you go to Jesus with nothing else, just who you are. Go to Jesus. Go to him and just and don't worry about your dirtiness, your ugliness, your past, your thoughts. Trust me. It's okay. The second thing, you go to Jesus and you look at his wounds. You look at his wounds. Because some of us, we think we're looking at our faith. And we think my faith is not good enough. That's true, but that's not relevant. That has nothing to do with anything. You look through your faith to Jesus. If you see the windows here, what's the purpose of a window? The purpose of the window is not for you to look at the window. Beautiful glass. Oh, it's shatterproof. Bird runs into it, nothing happens. Wow. You don't look at the glass, you look through the glass. It's like a windshield. If you're driving and you're staring at the windshield, you're in trouble. You're going to crack up. But if you look through the windshield, you're going to be okay. And that's what your faith is. You take your faith, you look through it at Jesus' wounds, and you see the wounds of Jesus, and you say, that's enough. And you do what Thomas did. Thomas was there. He saw the wounds, and he just bowed his knees, and he said, my Lord and my God. It was enough for him. One, you come to Jesus. Number two, you look at his wounds. And number three, you drop your ifs. You drop your joking. You drop your conditions. What did Timothy say? Timothy said, if I see the nails in his head, or the holes in his hand, if I see the mark in his side, if I can, if. Right? And what does Jesus do? Oh, you of little faith. No, he doesn't say that. He said, yeah, look, take a look. You can put your hand right here. But does it say, I want you to look closely, does it say that Timothy actually touched it? Excuse me, did I say Timothy? Thomas. Does it say that Thomas actually reached out and touched? Does it say that? It doesn't say that. It says Jesus said, Thomas, look, you can touch if you like. And then Thomas said, no, that's good. About my Lord and my God. He dropped his ifs. He dropped it. There's a lot of us in here. I don't know, I can't do math, but I'm going to say maybe 70 plus people here. You know how many ifs there are in this room? At least 70. For every single one. God, if you will give me that one thing. God, if you will take away that one thing. God, if you will just explain why this is happening. God, if you will just take that one person and change him or her. God, if that, if this, if, and then I'll commit. If. And God said, you'll never have it. Faith is not psychological confirmation. That comes after. You see, reason and thinking, that, let me put it this way. My brother is going to get married next month. And there's people who say, yeah, I'm so certain this is the right person for me. We're going to get married. This is the one. And you think, you're not thinking enough. You got to think a little bit more. Reason will get you so, we want to hire this person. We're so certain. Are you sure about that? You never really know. Do I really follow Jesus with all I have? No, it doesn't work that way. Your ifs doesn't work that way. Why? Why? Because this is Jesus. And you want to try to bargain with Jesus? You give me this and I'll give you. This is the man who showed you his holes in his side and his hand. What is he saying? He's saying, I gave you everything. I gave you all of me. You don't bargain with someone who's already given themselves completely to you. You give me all of yourself, I'll give you some of it. No, no. You give it all. You're not bargaining. It's either yes or no, completely. And then afterwards, then you know. Then you know for sure. I'm going to be celebrating 8 years of marriage pretty soon. And I'm more sure now I married the right person than I was 8 years ago. Married people, amen, somebody, I don't know. All right? But you know after, all the more before you know, on that day. So you go to Jesus, you look at his wounds, and you drop your ifs. And then what he does, oh, hallelujah, when you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I don't have enough, I don't know enough, I am not enough. But then you say, Jesus, I see your wounds, that's enough. Jesus, I see what you've done, that's enough. And then what happens is he says, you're in. You're in. In what? In Christ. And when you're in Christ, more gifts keep coming along. Amen, somebody. You just get more. And I can give you four. But there's a whole lot more. But in our text, we see four. Let me just give them to you right quick here. The first one is intimacy. Intimacy. What does he say when he says, what happens when Mary realizes, oh, Rabboni, and she just grabs him? What does he do? It's kind of a weird sentence. He says, Mary, don't cling to me, because I'm about to go to my Father, my God and your God, right? So don't cling. That's just a weird thing for Jesus to say. And you're just like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And here's what I think he's saying. Probably this. It's not that, you know, I'm going to zap you, you know, or if you hold on to me, something weird's going to happen because I'm a ghost. He was not a ghost. He was eating and he was talking and he was saying, touch me. No ghost says, touch me, right? So what was he getting at? Probably this. He's saying, look, Mary, I'm about to go to my Father. So now the way you and I are related to each other is different from the way from them before. You see, Mary, back then, to be close to me, you had to be physically close to me. But from now on, because I'm going to the Father, intimacy has nothing to do with physical proximity. Did you catch that? Because I'm going to the Father, not just you, Mary, but anybody in the world at any time can be close to me, not in their physical body, but in their heart, in their soul, they can get a hug from me. You could be sitting right where you are right now, and you could have Jesus as close to you as he was with Mary on that day, because he's going to the Father, because he's resurrected. It's an intimate. Do you understand that? Do you have that right now? There's some of you, you say, yeah, Chris, I know that. When I pray, I feel it. When I talk to Jesus, I know he's with me. And maybe not all the time, and maybe not every time, but often you feel his presence, his joy, his life. It's inside of you. It's enough to fill you up. Do you feel that? There's a presence in your life. There's nobody else in the room. There's no sound going on, but it's not you alone. There's him. You know that, don't you? But there's some of you here also, and you say, yeah, Chris, you know what? It's been a while since I felt that. It's been a while since I've had that intimacy. You know, it could be just I've been lazy, or I've had this sin in my life. I haven't been trying to confess or whatever. But let this be the day you resolve, Lord Jesus, it is on. You give me the gift of intimacy, I'm going to receive it this day on. That's what Jesus wants for you through his resurrection. Intimacy. What else does he give? intimacy. He gives purpose. He gives purpose. Intimacy and purpose. What does he do? He comes to the disciples and he's saying, I'm going to the Father. Now, therefore, just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Right? That's purpose. That's purpose. I was talking with a student this week. I teach high school and junior high school. And talking to one of my high school students, he's going to graduate in 2 years. He's a second-year high school student. Now, my school is, can I brag a little bit about my school? It's the top high school, private high school in the area. Parents send their sons to my school so they can be doctors, and they can be lawyers, they can be shachos, presidents of companies. That's why they send their sons to my school. So here's what they do. They study. 2 years. They go to juku and yobiko and blah, 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 blah. They're studying. And they pass the entrance exam. Hallelujah. They get into my school. I give them homework on the first day. Not a single thing comes back to me. Because they got into my school, and now it is party time. And so now I have a high school student who's a second-year high school student. I say, what do you do every day? Tell me about your daily life. He says, well, I go to school. I say, good. What time do you get home? I get home about 4 o'clock. I say, what do you do? I jump rope for about 30 minutes. I say, that's good. I'm waiting for him to say, I'm going to do my homework. So I say, okay, what happens after you jump rope? I watch a little TV. Okay, great. And then what happens after TV? Well, then my dad gets home and we eat dinner. Good. Family dinner. That's great. Family time. Okay, we're getting after dinner. What happens after dinner? I play video games. Okay, all right. So you play video games. How long? Well, every day I can only play 1 hour and that's it. I say, okay, all right, 1 hour on the weekdays, right? Yeah, 1 hour on the week. Okay, so what? How about Saturday, Sunday? How long are you playing video games, Saturday, Sunday? Well, from 3 o'clock, I get home from school on Saturday, and then from 3 o'clock, I'm allowed to play video games. And I said, until when? He says, until I go to sleep. I said, really, on Saturday? And he says, yes, and Sunday. Every day, 1 hour of video games. Weekends, 20 plus hours video games. No purpose. He's there at the best school in the land. His dad's a doctor. His brother's in college. Got no purpose. He's no special. He describes the average student in many of my classes and many students in our country. For those of you who are teachers, you know this. We live in a land where people are living without purpose. And Jesus says, I got a gift for you. I have good news for this land. We've got trains going around in circles going nowhere. But you come to me, I give you faith, I've got something for you to do. Jesus says, my job is to spread the kingdom of God, to bring the joy, the power, the peace, the life of God. And here's what you find. The minute you join with Jesus, the minute you come to Jesus, for some strange reason, he flips you around and he says, go. Do you know that? Do you feel that? Do you feel this urge to say, yeah, I need to do something, Jesus? And there's this something in you. Purpose. I got to keep going. He gives you intimacy. He gives you purpose. It's about to get really good. He gives you power. Power. There's a part where he says, he breathes on them, right? And what does he say after he breathes on them? He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Woo! Receive the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. If I took somebody and I put them into the bottom of Mount Everest, just dug a hole and buried them into Mount Everest, and the next day for some strange thing, I see him with nothing. He just his fists, and he's blasting his way out of Mount Everest. Just poof, poof, and wah, right out of Mount Everest. You think, wow, that's power. That's strong. It's amazing power. Yes, that's power. That's nothing compared to what Jesus did. Because Jesus was not buried into a mountain. He was buried into death. Mount Death he was put into. No one has ever climbed out of that mountain. No one will ever climb out of Death Mountain. It takes only the power of God to get out of death. You feeling me on that one? But what does it say in Romans chapter 8, verse 11? If you have Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He will raise you. He will give life. He will give power to your body because of His Spirit. Jesus breathed on His disciples and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, the same power that got me out of the grave is the same power I'm giving to you. You say, Chris, what does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. You can change. You hunger for renewal. You hunger for resurrection. You hunger for something better. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection. I can do it for you. For those of you walking with Jesus over 1 year, are you less bitter than you were last year? Are you less irritable than you were last year? Are you less annoying than you were last year? Are you more calm than you were last year? Are you more able to take criticism than you were last year? There's change. Slow, gradual, beautiful change daily happening in your life. Good change. Eternal change. That's nothing you can make from yourself. That comes from a gift of God given to you through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's power. That's the power that changes this world and it changes me. It's change. And some of you thought, yeah, you know what? You come to Easter today and you think, Chris, man, it's been a while. I want that power, Chris. I want it so bad. I want a change. I want a new something. And Jesus says, yes, you've come on the right day. And you come to me and I will give you all the change that you need. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is born again. The old is gone and the new has come. All things are made new. It's power. It's power. It's not something you have on your own. It's a gift from God, from Jesus himself. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Intimacy, power. Excuse me, intimacy, purpose, power. The last thing, close with that. Peace. How many times does he say, peace be with you? Peace be with you. This is even more amazing, my friends. More amazing. Peace be with you. And these are the disciples who've got pretty much hell breaking up all around them. They're so worried and they're so fragile right now. They're locking the doors. They're hiding in fear. They've shut the windows. It's dark inside. It's light outside. Some of you, that's you right now. It's daytime outside, but in your heart, it's just, and you're hiding. And Jesus comes and says, peace be with you. There is a hymn written by Charles Wesley. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Hallelujah. That's the first line. The last line of that hymn, it says this beautiful line. It says, ours is the cross, the graves, and the skies. Ours is the cross, the grave, and the skies. What is he saying? He's saying, your worst fear could be the very best thing that could ever happen to you. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? You lose a job. No. Somebody leaves you. It's not the worst thing. You get sick. That's not the worst thing. You die. If that's the worst thing, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of the grave, that's the best thing that could ever happen to you. Pastor Hiroshi was preaching it today. What does it mean? It says, look, all hell could be breaking loose all around me. But here's the thing. The lower you lay me, my dear friend, the higher you're going to have to raise me someday. Amen. You put me in the grave, I'm going to come back out because of the resurrection. What does that do? There is a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's a peace that Jesus gives to you. And so you can be like Mary. You look and there's just an empty tomb, a grave, and just craziness all around you. You have your problems. You have your difficulties. And Jesus says, I'm working in those. Those are the very things I'm using to make you ready for resurrection. You look at me, and the only reason I'm any good to anybody here, the only reason I'm useful, the only reason I can stand here and say I can say something is because of my graves, because of my crosses. The only thing that makes me of any use to you is what I've gone through, and God has taken that and flipped it around and made it something I can use. You know that, don't you? You know that because of that thing that happened to you a few years ago, you're stronger. Because of that person who put you down and thought they could bury you, because of Jesus Christ, you've resurrected. Oh, and there's peace. You know that. And then there's some of us here, you don't know that yet. You don't know that. And I'm praying that you will know that today. The last point, final thing. Jesus says, look, Mary, I'm about to go get my brothers. Did you catch that? Go get my brothers. Who are they? The disciples. When is the last time we saw the disciples? At the garden. What were they doing? They were falling asleep, and they were running away. Did you remember that? They were deserting Jesus. They were denying Jesus. And Jesus comes out of the grave and he says, go get my brothers. My brothers. He doesn't say, go get those deserters. Don't go get those deniers and tell them I've got a word for them. He doesn't say that. He says, go. Those of you who are Jesus' brothers and sisters, are those of you here who realize I'm a deserter? I was a denier. If you confess that, then you can be a brother. If you don't know that, if you deny that, you can't be a brother. But if you say, Jesus, I have nothing to offer you. Jesus says, that's all I want. I want that. And he's going to make you a brother. Hallelujah for that. He's got so many. He's got eternal life for you. He's got a resurrection life for you. Power, intimacy, peace, purpose. Now, if you say, Chris, I reject it. It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true. I'll give you that. I will give you that. I was talking to that student this week. I was telling him about grace. Grace, you get something you don't deserve. And he says, no, thank you.
it's too good to be true. I said, yes, you are listening correctly. If you listen carefully, if you reject Jesus because it's too much work, it's too troubling, it's too trifling, it's too stifling, it doesn't make sense. No, that's not an excuse to reject Jesus. You're not thinking enough. However, if you reject Jesus because it's just too good to be true, all of that, and I don't deserve any of it, he's still going to give it to me, that's too good to be true. You can reject Christianity because of that. But if you're willing to humble yourself and say, okay, I'll take it, Jesus. I'll take it. I'll take all of it. And he'll say, I'll take all of you. So come. My last word is just come. Come to Jesus. Come to him now. You can go right where you're sitting. And you can come to him. And you say, Jesus, here I am. Today I give myself to you. And he says, yeah, yeah. Welcome. Welcome into my family. Welcome my child. Welcome my daughter, my son, my brother. Come to Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, I'm 10 minutes over, but it's never too late. It's never too late for you to save another person's life today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you take us from death to life today. I pray, Lord Jesus, for the graves to be broken through. I pray, Lord Jesus, for the darkness to be pierced by your eternal light. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will feed the hungry today. And that, Lord, that not just the kids get gifts, but, Lord, all of us, your brothers, Lord, would be able to receive eternal gifts from you today. Oh, Lord, do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.